This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we will have an inspiring devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley and a health segment on how to lose weight with almonds and avocados.
Plus, we're talking about heart idols and more, so stay with us.
Good morning and happy Friday, friends. You know, we have been so thankful for being able to spend our mornings with you this week.
What a blessing it has been. Yeah. And as we end the week together, we're celebrating Games Day.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, Games Day falls on December 20th every year. And its purpose is to break from the routine and spend time playing games. I like this day.
Me too. I love it.
Did you know games can actually be beneficial?
That is so true. Games sharpen our ability to problem solve. They sharpen our goal-focused strategies. Focus, concentration, coordination, communication skills, social interaction, and can even be a great motivator to learn.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, the world should play so many more games.
I know.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
This world would be a better place.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So go grab some loved ones and play some games. Hey, grab strangers. Play games today. Board games, word games, trivia games, some stress release games, while bonding together and creating fun memories.
That sure sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, it's now time to check out what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1963, nearly 4,000 West Berliners were allowed to cross into East Berlin to visit family under a new East-West agreement. Over 170,000 one-day passes were ultimately issued, a rare concession following the construction of the Berlin Wall 2 years earlier to prevent East German citizens from fleeing. To East and West Germans, Berlin symbolized. That wall symbolized political division and Cold War tensions. For some, it even represented protection from Western influence. Yet, when the wall finally opened, reunions filled the day with tears, laughter, and joy as long-separated friends and families embraced once again.
You know, what an amazing picture this paints in our minds. Can you imagine being separated from loved ones for so long and finally being able to see them again? In fact, the Bible promises that one day soon, there will be, in fact, a joyous reunion. Mm-hmm. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, we are told, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, and about those who are asleep, that is the dead, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. For this we do declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, we who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord."
Amen.
Oh, friends, we will indeed see our loved ones again. So today we invite you to trust and hope in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Friends, what do avocados and almonds have in common? Well, let's find out on today's Live It Health segment.
With two-thirds of our population either overweight or obese, the emphasis tends to be on what you should not eat.
Oh, man!
However, when it comes to losing weight, instead, ask yourself, what should I eat? Obesity is a huge problem in America. It increases one's risk of heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, high blood pressure, cancer, and the list goes on.
So let's focus on two foods that we should eat if we want to lose weight. Avocados and almonds.
researchers added half of an avocado to the subjects' lunch meals and found that they felt fuller over a longer period of time and had less of a desire to eat. Not only that, but their insulin levels decreased after the meal.
A lot of people think that because avocados are high in fat, that they are fattening. But that is not necessarily so, because higher fat foods help you feel full.
You see, avocados contain monounsaturated fat. It's a healthy type of fat that our bodies need to reduce LDLs. That's the bad cholesterol in our blood.
This fruit also contains 20 vitamins and minerals. And almonds have a similar effect. The high protein, high fat, and high fiber content in these nuts help us feel more full.
In fact, the researcher found in a weight control program that those who ate almonds as a snack had longer and better sustained weight reduction than those in the popcorn group.
The study also found that people do not gain weight by eating a handful of almonds every day.
But more than losing weight, it's what these foods do to help combat the negative health effects of obesity. So how should we incorporate avocados and almonds into our daily diet?
My recommendation would be about half an avocado. So to substitute that too for maybe some of the butter or the high-fat cheese that is usually consumed at meal times.
And for almonds, eat a handful a day.
You can also substitute it for saturated fats like cheese and meat for added health benefits.
And that liven up your diet by being creative with these foods. For example, instead of putting butter on your toast, top it with almond butter or avocado.
You can even make a delicious avocado shake with almond milk.
For a healthier take on dessert, make chocolate pudding with avocado instead of the dairy. Then top it with slivered almonds. There's your tip for the day
on how you can live healthier longer.
Neil Schofield joins us now with his furry friend to share an important life lesson through the lens of a dog.
Cyrus is a typical Labrador. He lives for food. All I do is cut an apple and he's up, ready for the apple core. He also knows exactly when he gets fed each day. So his body clock tells him to flap his ears or give us a nudge if we've forgotten. And if we give Cyrus a clue food is coming, you watch him. Is it time? Is it time? The Bible uses eating as an illustration for spending time with God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, reading the Bible each day is like eating spiritual food. It brings nourishment and it provides spiritual sustenance right through the day. The first thing I've learned from Cyrus comes from his passion for eating. He loves it. I think to myself, imagine if I have the same hunger for studying the Bible. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Well, he's opened the door, so I guess I better go and join him. When it comes to eating, Cyrus has a major problem. He always scoffs it down so quickly, he feels as if he hasn't eaten. He then looks up waiting for more, which means he's always hungry. Watch this. So this is what we do to encourage Cyrus to eat more slowly. I find it interesting that Jesus says that he not only wants us to open the door and invite him into our life, he then goes on to say he wants to dine with us. What does that mean? You see, there's a big difference between eating and dining. My wife sometimes says to me, "Neil, I don't want to just eat with you. I want to dine with you." In other words, it's no use eating together if I've got the TV on or the laptop open doing my emails. But if we spend regular quality time dining together, taking our time, we enjoy the moment and become closer to each other in the process. I'm a bit like Cyrus. I need to learn how to spend time dining instead of eating. What about you?
Are you enjoying today's program? Share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
When we return, we're going to have an encouraging segment on Bible and Christian living. And later, Pastor Mark Finley joins us to share today's devotional thought. We'll see you in just a moment. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we pray you are blessed today by our program.
Outward actions are always motivated by internal thoughts. What do your actions show? Who is on the throne of your heart and life? Let's listen into today's episode of Bible and Christian Living as we dig deeper into the topic of heart idolatries.
Water is an incredible substance. You think about it, it's a substance that's fluid, gentle. It's something we drink, something we bathe ourselves in. It's something that flows over, under, around. It goes anywhere. But there's something else about water that really intrigues me. Despite its softness, as it were, it's incredibly powerful. I mean, water changes the very face of the earth. It cuts rivers out of rock. It digs massive canyons into the ground. And all of this happens simply through its natural flow over the earth. Jeremiah in the Old Testament of the Bible tells the story of a group of people known as Israel. Israel began to become idolatrous in their worship experience. They began to build shrines and places to worship their false gods. But in the midst of all of this, Jeremiah goes on to explain that something happened on the inside of them long before they began to build the shrines on the outside. He says they set up idols in their hearts. So what happened on the inside of them showed itself logically in the way they lived before others and worshiped in the outside. They set up an idol in their hearts, and then they began to set up idols for worship purposes on the outside. And I'd be willing to bet you that for us living today in the 21st century, it's probably exactly the same thing. Our outward lives, the way we live before others, the way we treat others, the way we engage with others, how we worship or don't worship, is all a reflection of something that's happening on the inside long before it shows itself on the outside. So if we're looking to change the way we live on the outside, we have to begin at the root cause, which is in the heart experience. In the same way that water has that incredible power to shape the face of the earth, to cut through rock, what you give your allegiance to, what rules and governs your heart, will determine and shape the choices that you make. It will influence what your lifestyle looks like and how you relate to people. In Scripture, Jesus says that He wants to be the water of life. That means He wants to fill us from the inside. And as He does that, everything inside of us is washed and cleansed and becomes new. As Jesus is the water of life, He takes His rightful place on our heart. Our loyalty is given to Him. And a strange, miraculous, awesome change begins to happen in our lives, beginning on the inside and showing itself as it works out in our daily choices. It's no wonder that in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the idea is that when we're connected with Jesus Christ, we become entirely new creations. The old things pass away and all things become new. So my question to you today is, are you ready for something that's radically new, something that's totally awesome? Or are you still contented with being stuck, still contented with the old? The offer that Christ makes to you is that if you will give Him your heart's allegiance, your loyalty, invite Him to come in with His water and fill you up from the inside, you'll become totally new on the outside as well as on the inside. So what will your choice be today? Will you hand over your heart's loyalty, your affections, and your love to Him? Will you invite Him in and say, "I want you to be my friend forever"? If you do, get ready for something radically new, radically awesome.
If you're enjoying our program, share us with a friend and visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we'd love to hear from you about how we have made a difference in your week. So please stop by our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and leave us a message.
And when we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Findlay. Wake Up With Hope. We'll be right back.
It's now time for our devotional thought, and this morning it will be brought to us by Pastor Mark Findlay.
One of the big challenges in the Christian life is to work through certain questions that seem to us to be in conflict with the principles of the Bible. Now let me share a couple with you. If God is so good, why is the world so bad? Why is there so much suffering? That's one of the questions that I'm asked often as I travel the world in evangelism. But here's another one, and it's this second one I want to focus on today. Why does God allow wicked leaders to rule and at times kill millions of people who are innocent? Why are there so many wicked despots in the world? Why are so many wicked autocratic leaders in the world? Now, Proverbs kind of slaps us in the face. Proverbs kind of shocks us with what it says, and so we need to unpack it. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. What's this talking about? What it's saying is this. God is sovereign. And in spite of what is happening on earth, the sovereign God is still in control. Now, let me give you some examples of this. Take Joseph's experience. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's thrown into a pit. He goes into the palace to be a servant. He is wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and ends up in prison. So how do you explain God then? But ultimately, Joseph interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler. Joseph ends up in Pharaoh's court, and Joseph interprets the dream of 7 years of plenty and then followed by 7 years of famine. Although Joseph was in a pit, was God still in control then? When Joseph was in the palace and in prison, was God still in control then? Did God see the end from the beginning? And did God plan to put Joseph where he was to save the nation of Israel or Jacob's sons and the Israelites at that time? He did. God had a plan to save his people long before Joseph knew about the plan. Take Moses' experience. When Moses, when a decree went forth that these Jewish babies be killed and Moses is in a little basket, take Moses' experience. He's brought up in the courts of Egypt. He flees into the wilderness after he kills an Egyptian. You know, he flees. He's there for 40 years. And you can almost hear Moses saying, it's just a waste of my life. I've been educated in the highest education in the courts of Egypt. Moses was a historian. Moses was, he knew geography, he knew war, but yet he's out there herding sheep. But was God still sovereign? And was God going to use that to have Moses lead his people out of the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt? He was. And you take Daniel, you know, a young man, he's captive, 17 years old. He has an experience in Babylon. And what happens then? He takes 3 years in the University of Babylon, purposes in his heart to serve God, and God uses that to put him next to Nebuchadnezzar, and ultimately Nebuchadnezzar is converted. You see, in spite of despotic rulers, in spite of autocratic rulers, God's still in control. And God opens the hearts of these rulers and these political leaders through the influence of his people. Now, sometimes that influence is through personal contact. Other times that influence is through prayer, where God's people pray. And as God's people pray, the circumstances change. You think of the Battle of Dunkirk in the Second World War, where Hitler's panzer divisions of tanks had driven the Allied forces right to the English Channel. But all up and down in country churches and city churches, in the evenings, the lights were on, or they were, the churches were darkened. But people were praying, is the point. People were praying, and as they prayed, Hitler made decisions to slow his attack down. And you had the great invasion of Dunkirk when the Allied forces evacuated their troops to save an army of tens of thousands. You see, the hand of the Pharaoh, the heart of the Pharaoh is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns wherever he wishes. Now, sometimes these rulers sense divine influence, but sometimes they have absolutely no knowledge at all. The key fact is this: God is sovereign. Let me share with you an amazing experience from here in the United States. In the United States, there was a war called the Civil War. Now, no war is civil, a war between the North and the South. The first battle of that war was the Battle of Manassas in July 21, 1861. General McDowell led the Northern forces, the Federal forces, about 32,000. General Beauregard led the Confederate forces that day swelled to about 22,000. The battle raged all day. Northern forces were attacking. Southern forces were attacking. And immediately, though, as those forces approached one another, and we don't know why this happened in the history books, but from divine history, we know why it happened. History books have a hard time explaining it. The battle has raged all day. As the North and South approach one another, something unusual happens. There's confusion. Confusion in the ranks. The Northern forces retreat, and they're gone. 2 weeks after the battle, Ellen White, whom Seventh-day Adventists told to have prophetic guidance from God, has a vision. And in that vision, she sees an angel come down and confuse the soldiers so that the Northern soldiers will retreat. And she says, this is why. See, often people say to me, where's God in the midst of battle? Where's God in the midst of struggle? She says, there are two reasons why that happened. Number one, these Federal forces were young recruits. Abraham Lincoln had people come from the farms, from the factories. They were young men, 17, 18, 19, some as young as 16. And they signed up for 90 days because they thought the war was going to be over quickly. 90 days. Had they won the Battle of Manassas and marched further south down to the capital at Richmond, thousands more would have died. So what did God do? He intervened by sending the angel. Secondly, there were many pro-slavery people in the North, not only in the South. And God allowed the North to lose that battle to punish the North for their pro-slavery position until the North would take a position against the heinous, terrible crime of slavery. But what does all of this show? What does the story of Daniel and Joseph and Moses show? What is the story that I just told you show, and how does that illustrate the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? That in the midst of human conflict, in the midst of human strife, in the midst of war and dust and turmoil, God is still sovereign. We can walk out today with hope because God is in control of this world.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday morning. Puyap and I will be sharing a devotional thought. We'll have music from Sivasa Laupati, another recipe from Gia and her team, and more. So don't forget to start your week off right here at Wake Up With Hope.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought, you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study, because we are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you as they have been to so many others.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise for today. And today's promise says,
stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Deuteronomy 5, verse 33.
You know, friends, the land we're about to enter and occupy is our heavenly kingdom in heaven. So stay on the path God has set, and you will be ready when Jesus comes again.
What a beautiful promise we can take with us into today. And we pray that as you take this truth into your life, it will change your life.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, our hearts are so overwhelmed with so much hope. Thank you. Thank you that we can carry this in our hearts and carry it with us continuously, that we would never have to find ourselves feeling hopeless. May you guard our hearts and keep us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.